Is it hot in here? Is it? I know the last couple of weeks it has been, but we're... Yes, there was. I saw a few fans waving, so... So we're working on it. We closed the blinds to cut down on some of the heat today. Glad you guys are all here this morning. We've been in the middle of a series, and we've spent the last couple of weeks that I've been able to share. And we've been looking at those things that Paul instructs us, how Paul instructs us to put on the full armor of God. We've been looking at those instructions, and we've seen that we are expected in this life to exert the power of Jesus Christ, knowing and understanding that the enemy is going to put up resistance against that. But we also know and understand that we have the full power of Jesus Christ to overcome all of the enemy's resistance, whatever it might be in this life. We walk victoriously. We stand victoriously in Him. So, let's look at those verses again. Now, this will be the third time we've looked at it, but you know what the Bible says? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So the more we hear this, the more this should get built into our hearts, our very souls. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. This is, by the way, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 17. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the enemy, to withstand in the day of evil, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. This is the full armor that Paul is instructing us to put on as we go through our lives. Now, there's too much material. I always love to give you a review, especially if you haven't been here, but there's way too much material from the last 2 weeks to go through. So let me just hit on a couple of high points that we can build upon this morning. So first of all, Jesus has defeated Satan. And because He's defeated Satan, yes, that is worthy of applause. Because He has defeated Satan, we can throw the enemy down before us with our hand, empowered by the Word of God, upon his neck. And that's what Paul says. That's part of what wrestling is. When Paul talks about wrestling against the principalities and against the powers and so forth, that's what he's talking about. We put our hand on his neck. We put him down before us. That's the way it's supposed to be. We also saw in part that wrestling means to shake and to vibrate. When we speak the Word of God, the resulting spiritual vibrations shake the very foundations of this natural world, and it brings change. So that when we do that, everything that is opposed to the Word of God is shaken until it changes and it lines up with the Word of God. That's how we stand, and that's how we wrestle. Now, so far, we've looked at verses 10, 11, and 12. Before Paul begins to describe to us the implements of our armor, he has one more verse of instruction for us, and that comes from verse number 13. We read it, but I want to just focus on it. So here again, this is Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 13. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Now, we love to tell people, we love to say, stand on the Word of God. We love to tell people, stand in the face of the battle, stand, and having done all, continue to stand. And that is absolutely right. That is definitely true. We should encourage people, stand, and having done all, to stand. What we forget to do sometimes is to tell them to put on the full armor of God. You've got to have on the full armor of God. You and I, we need to be the armor bearers for the people that are around us. The armor bearer, that's the one that when the king was getting ready to go out to battle, the armor bearer was the one who would bring all of the implements of armor. And the armor bearer was responsible for making sure that every implement of the armament was on and secure. That's what our job is. Tell people to stand, but make sure that they're going out and standing against the enemy in the whole armor of God. Be the armor bearer. Make sure that they have all these things that Paul's talking about and that we're going to be talking about also. You make sure that they stand in the whole armor of God as they stand. Because if we send people out into spiritual battle, if we send them out into spiritual warfare without the whole armor of God, the enemy is going to exploit those exposed areas in his attacks. And then unprotected, those born-again believers in Jesus Christ are going to be wounded. And that's why we do see people in the body of Christ that begin to question, believers who begin to question, can I trust the Word? Does the Word really work? We need to make sure that we send people out, but it's our job to make sure we have them shod, completely covered, prepared as they stand. They stand on the Word in the whole armor of God. Make sure that you send them out so prepared. So in verse number 13, two specific things I want to look at this morning. The first thing is the phrase, whole armor. And then the second thing is the word withstand. So let's start with whole armor. Paul tells us to put on the whole armor of God. What exactly is the whole armor? What exactly does that mean in the Greek? Because we get our Bible, we get the New Testament, it's taken from the Greek. So it's important for us to know what this is. Because again, this reveals to us, if we understand what it means from the Greek, it reveals to us exactly what Paul intended for you to understand when he spoke these words. So the whole armor. When we see that phrase, whole armor, it's really just one word in the Greek. It's the word panoplia. And panoplia is a compound word, and it means this. It means everything that is needed to wage successful warfare. Everything that is needed to wage successful warfare. Literally, in the ancient Greeks believed that this meant the complete equipment that was needed for, listen to this, the complete equipment that was needed for those that were part of the heavily armed infantry. Literally, ancient Greeks saw a heavily armed infantry. Remember that picture in your mind. So that's what it means literally. Here's what it means figuratively, and I want you to see this because I want you to be able to read this along with me. Figuratively, it means this. The full resources the Lord gives to the believer so they can successfully wage spiritual warfare. In this way, they do not fight for victory, but from his victory. Paul is telling us that it is only in the whole armor of God and the full resources that Jesus Christ has given us to wage successful spiritual warfare, it is only in that that we can withstand the attacks of the enemy and that we can then advance the kingdom of God. And I told you to keep that picture of that full military, that heavily armed infantry. Picture yourself that way. Because you are part of the heavily armed infantry of Jesus. That's who you are. So when we stand together in the authority of Jesus' name, if Donna has a need in her life, and we as a body get together, and we say, we're going to speak the word of God, and we're going to stand with Donna in this area. The enemy doesn't just see Donna in the armor of God, which would be enough. The enemy actually sees an entire heavily armed infantry, all adorned in the full armor of God, not only standing against him, but advancing against him. That's what we should see when we stand and pray together in the authority of Jesus Christ. And this is why we should be excited to have the opportunity to stand together as a body and believe, to stand together and to speak his word. So you can picture yourself flanked by others as part of that heavily armed infantry. And don't miss this. It also said that we, in the whole armor of God, we are not fighting for victory. There's no need for that. That's already been done. The victory's already been established in Jesus. We fight and we wrestle from his victory. We are standing and fighting from the position of victory. We stand and fight from the position that is already done. So go! Advance the kingdom! Advance. Just make sure that we're advancing in that whole armor of God. Now, in the last 2 weeks, I've said this multiple times, and I'll probably say it in the weeks to come as well. It is imperative for us to see ourselves, not in the flesh, but it's imperative for us to see ourselves as we truly are in the spiritual realm. It's imperative that we see ourselves in that full armor of God. But I want to build upon that today. I want you to see yourself as you truly are in the spiritual realm. See yourself in that full armor of God. But then also see the enemy and see what he really looks like in the spiritual realm. Look at this from Luke. This is Luke chapter 11. This is verses 21 and 22. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he comes upon him and overcomes him, he takes from him all of his armor in which he is trusted, and he divides his spoils. Listen, if Satan can, he will rob us of what is ours in Jesus. If he can, he will rob us of our promised health, of our promised mental peace, of our finances, and so on. And what he steals from you, if he can, he will steal it. And once he's stolen it, he will attempt to guard it with all of his strength. But one who is stronger has come. Jesus. And Jesus overcame Satan. It's done. It's finished. One who is stronger has already come, and one who is stronger has already taken all of that back for us. So we have everything. Jesus has overcome. There's a twofold result that we see as the end of this scripture. Two things took place as a result of this. The first thing is, we see that Jesus took the armor of Satan. And the second thing is, he divided the spoils. So let's look at the second thing first. Jesus divides the spoils. Everything that Satan has taken from you, Jesus has already restored. Happy Jubilee. Every day, happy Jubilee. So go, be bold, possess what's already yours. That's the first thing. But the other thing is, it says that Jesus took Satan's armor from him. Now, if you remember last week, we were looking and we saw that Jesus made a public display of stripping the enemy of his power. We saw that in Colossians. This is Colossians chapter 2, verse number 15. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. At the moment of Satan's defeat, Jesus not only stripped Satan of his power, he also took his armor from him. He took the armor in which Satan had put his trust in. What does that mean? Well, think about this. If you go back, remember, we've talked about this many times. God gave dominion. It's talking about dominion. God gave his dominion to man. Man with sin gave that dominion over to Satan. Because of that, Satan had dominion. Why is it that in the Old Testament you see Satan referred to? There's far more of the Old Testament than there is in the New Testament. And yet there's only a handful of times that Satan's even mentioned in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, you see it all the time. Why? It's because man had no authority over Satan in the Old Testament. It's not till Jesus came and Jesus won the victory. So what did Jesus do? He stripped Satan of his power, of his authority, but he also stripped him of the armor that he put his trust in, dominion. So now Satan has no power, he has no authority, and he has no dominion. In other words, he has no armor against you. So when the day of evil comes, when those attacks of the enemy come upon you, when that happens, see yourself in the spiritual realm. Here's what you picture. Picture yourself, see yourself in the whole armor of God. And if it helps, See yourself in the armor of God, flanked by all the rest of the body of Christ who are standing with you in the whole armor of God. And then see the enemy standing in front of you, and he has no armor. It is truly the emperor's new clothes. He wants you to think he's got something. He has nothing. That's what Satan sees in the spiritual realm, and that's what he wants you to never see yourself. He sees you arrayed for battle. He sees you arrayed for battle in the full armor of God. And he sees himself stripped of his power. But worse, he also sees he has no armor against the sword of God that you wield when you speak the word of God. He sees he has no armor against you. He doesn't want you to see that. That's the way that we always need to see ourselves. So here's the other thing I want to look at. Withstand. I want you to see this also. Here's what withstand means. When we see the word withstand in Ephesians 6:13, here's what it means in the Greek. Look at this with me. There's a lot there. Take a complete stand against, i.e., a 180-degree contrary position. Figuratively, to establish one's position publicly and conspicuously. Holding one's ground, i.e., refusing to be moved, pushed back. Read through that again. Take a complete stand against, i.e., 180-degree contrary position, figuratively, to establish one's position publicly and conspicuously, holding one's ground, i.e., refusing to be moved, pushed back. That's what it means to withstand. So now that we can see ourselves in the whole armor of God, and now that we can see that the enemy is not only defeated, he has no armor. So now, make the choice. Decide for yourself. Come to the conclusion that you will believe the promises of the Word of God, and you will stand and believe those promises until they come to pass in your life, until you see them manifested in your life. Again, picture this in your mind. Your stand in Jesus is 180 degrees contrary to that of your enemy. That means it's the exact opposite. So what does that look like? Well, with the whole armor of God, we stand resolute. We don't yield, we don't turn, and we do not run. When you do this, your stance is the exact opposite of Satan's. If it's the exact opposite and I'm standing, what is he doing? He's running. He's fleeing. When you stand in the Word of God, the enemy will do a 180 and he will run and he will flee. That's what it says in James 4:7. Submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. We quote and we read these verses on standing on the Word of God. We quote it, we read it. But the reality is, as a body of Christ, we're not trained. We haven't been trained to stand and to fight. It goes against the nature of the flesh to stand when you're under attack. The flesh wants to turn and to run. In a few weeks, it's going to be July 4th. You guys know I love history. So my mind is already going. I'm already reading books, and my mind's already on those days of our independence. So I'm going to use just a really quick example from that to really highlight this point and make this point. At the beginning of the Revolutionary War, the military that we had was almost all militia, which means they had little or no training at all. In those first 2 years, here was a common scene. Common. Picture General George Washington watching in horror and helplessly as his troops fled at the mere sight of the advance of the British Army, which is what we do as the body of Christ sometimes, and we see the enemy advancing. So Washington, time and again, would see, there's an example after the Battle of New York, after the horrible loss at New York. There's a scene where Washington is sitting on his horse. All of his troops are retreating, running. He's trying to get them to stop and to stand and to fight, but they're all rushing past him. And George Washington never, ever, ever in his life, never shares or shows any emotion at all. But in that moment, he throws his head down on the ground and he says, are these the men that I'm supposed to defend America with? Because they turn and they ran. At the first sight, at the mere sight of the glint of the steel of the British bayonets, the entire troops would not just, they'd literally run, but they would throw their muskets down on the ground and run. So in the face of battle, they were not just running, they were throwing down their weapons. How do you expect to come back and fight tomorrow when you've left your weapon? They needed to be trained. And that's exactly what happened. It's after Valley Forge. We all know Valley Forge for the horrible winter that it was. But what most of us don't know is after that spring, they were still in Valley Forge, Pennsylvania, but after that winter in the spring, that's when everything turned around for the United States, for the Army, for the Continental Army. That all turned around because of one man. There was a man, his name is Baron von Steuben. He's a Prussian officer that came to the United States for the cause of freedom. And he's the man that prepared. He spent that spring. He was a drill master. He's the one that taught them and trained them. He's the one that disciplined them and drilled them and took a ragtag army and made it into a cohesive fighting army. And then after that, after all that intense training was done, the Continental Army came out of Valley Forge. They were confident in who they were, and they were confident in what they had to do and what they could do. Coming out of Valley Forge, the American Continental Army was prepared. They were trained, and they were ready to fight. And they stood toe-to-toe with what was the greatest army in the world at that time, the British Army. We need to be trained. We need to be trained for spiritual warfare. We need to be trained to stand and to fight in the spiritual realm. It's easy. Look, it's easy. When we see the enemy attacking us, it is easy to turn and run. That's human nature. But here's the thing. We're not just human. We don't operate. You and I, we don't operate from our human nature. Because we're new creations in Jesus. We operate out of the nature of Jesus Christ that is in us. So how do we train ourselves? How do we prepare and train ourselves for spiritual battle? Listen, everybody that's in here this morning, there is probably something you need to be standing against. It doesn't mean it has to be something monumental. It doesn't mean mortality or financial ruin. More than likely, it's probably a small thing, like a headache or some kind of physical impediment. You know, or maybe it's discouragement. Maybe it's life's disappointment. Maybe you just need godly direction and guidance in a matter. It's small things. If I stood here long enough this morning and kept on spouting things off, I would touch on something that every one of us would say, yeah, I need to stand on that too. Our training ground is in those small things. That's our training ground. When you face those smaller things, that's your opportunity to train to stand. Speak the word of God. And stand on the word of God until you see the victory in that area. That prepares you then to stand for the bigger things. It prepares you then to stand against all things, to stand for everything that is yours. Practice is our training ground. Practice. I've told you guys this story before. This is going back a long time ago. There's a young man in the hospital. I went to pray for him. I'd never met him until the night I got there before his surgery. He had cancer in his stomach. And I prayed for him, and that was the last time I talked to him for a few weeks because the mom, who was my friend, called me the next day and said they didn't even do surgery. They just closed him back up. He's so full of cancer, they've only given him a week to live. And so the next time I came to see him, he had so many tubes, he couldn't even talk. And so I walked in there the next day, and I just knew from talking to him the night before, I knew he had no training. He had a hopeless battle, the natural, a hopeless battle in front of him. And he had no training. He was not prepared for it at all. And he's looking, and he's got 1 week to live. So I asked him, I told him what the word, I told him what I believed, I told him about healing, and I said, do you believe that? And he shook his head, yes. I said, do you want to stand on that? And he shook his head, yes. And I said, then we're going to take this, because I needed to train him, so I said, we're going to take this step by step. We're not going to pray for everything all at once. We're going to pray for one thing. You and I are going to pray together on the word today. We're going to speak one thing, and then when I come back tomorrow, that's going to be healed and taken care of. And then we'll pray for the next thing. So I said to him, Brad, start small. Take something small. And let's see that. Then when you see that, then you can believe for the bigger things. He said, yes. So I asked him, what do you want to pray for first? He didn't go small. He had this pain in his back that even with the morphine, it didn't cut the pain. But it just, that was, at the moment, was most critical to him. So I said, okay, so we prayed about it. We spoke about it. We spoke the word. I walked out of there the next day. I remember walking back. It was at MCO, and the where you used to park, there was from where you had to park to where you had to walk in, it was a long walk. And I remember that long walk that whole time thinking, what's Brad doing? Did Brad believe? Did he really hold on to it and believe? And I walked in the room, and I turned the corner. I saw Brad, and he was sitting up in bed. He was waiting for me to get there. And he can't talk because of all these tubes, but this is what he does. I said, Brad, that's awesome. So what's the next thing? And we prayed for something else. And the next day, that was fine. And I said, what do you want to pray for next? And he said, feeding tubes. He wanted all the tubes out so he could talk, including the feeding tubes. And they said those would never come out. But I said, Brad, we're going to pray and believe. It didn't happen the next day. That was closer to the end of the week. By that next Monday, Mom called. She was laughing on the phone. She said, you got to come. And I come, and there's Brad sitting up speaking because they take these tubes out. Within a few months, he was out of the hospital altogether. We needed to train ourselves, and we train ourselves by find those, every time there's something in your life that is an irritation or an annoyance, that's your training ground. Stand on the word of God. Speak the word of God. We saw that the word withstand. We saw what it means. Withstand means hold your ground. Hold your ground. You've got the victory in Jesus. We hold our ground. Anytime anything in this world speaks anything to you that is contrary to the word of God, you hold your ground. You stand. You refuse to be pushed back. I will not be pushed back. I speak, I've done this many times. I will speak and I will say, I will not yield. So you, I've spoken to my body. When I've been praying for something to my body and it doesn't come to pass and you get frustrated, I get myself all worked up and I say to my body, you yield to the word of God. I don't yield to you. I will not yield. So you may as well. There's been circumstances in my life where I've said to the devil, I've said, I will not yield. And since both you and I know you're defeated, I will not yield. So you may as well. You stand your ground. You refuse to be pushed back. Remember, what Satan sees is not just you in the armor. He sees you flanked with others standing with you. And he sees all of you advancing upon him. He's going to turn around and flee. I've had opportunity three times in the last week and a half. Three times I've had opportunity to address this one question, this one thing, where people have said something about standing. And I've formulated it in my mind really well over a week and a half. So there's three things. One, speak the word of God. Two, you stand with expectancy. And three, listen. Because here's what you do, no matter what it is you're facing, you speak the word of God. Whatever it is, you speak the word of God to it. If it's your health, if it's your life, it's your business, whatever, you speak the word of God over it. That is the sword. The enemy has no armor against the sword that you wield. You speak it. It's that spiritual vibration that brings those changes that are manifested in the natural realm. Y'all understand that? Okay, then once that happens, then you're going to be left in that position, which happens too often for me, where you stand and pray, but you're not seeing the results. And sometimes you get frustrated. That's when you stand with expectancy. Here's the problem. If I don't see it take place within my comfort zone of 24 hours or 36 hours or 20 minutes, all of a sudden I start to think, well, why didn't it work? What happened? What's not working? No, you stand with expectancy. I've told you this illustration before, but it's perfect. About a year ago, maybe a year and a half ago, I know I had rotator tear. I know, because I couldn't do this. I could go no higher than that. And I couldn't do that at all. And I didn't want to go to the doctor because I know that the doctor was going to say, oh, it's your rotator cuff. As soon as I heard him say that, this is just me. I'm not saying for you, it's just me. I just knew if I went to the doctor and I heard him say those words, I knew as soon as I heard those words, I'd receive it. And so I thought, I am not going to. And so for 3 months, I stood on the Word of God. Here's what you do. When you don't see the results, you stand. Just keep praising Him. Say thank you. Thank you, Jesus. It doesn't matter what I see, what I feel, how. I thank you because I know it's done. That's how you stand. But here's what happened. After 3 months of this, this is why you have to stand in with expectancy. What are you expecting? Too many times if we don't see the results, we expect we're not going to see the results. So here's what all of a sudden I was in the shower one day and I was getting ready to wash my hair. I had the shampoo in this hand. I got to come up like this. Remember, I can't do beyond that. And so I know that every time, so I have the shampoo in my hand and I'm braced. I'm prepared for the pain that comes when I do this. And as soon as I did that, the Holy Spirit said, there was no pain. Why did you expect pain? Before you even put your hand up there, you expected pain. And I thought, yeah, if I'm truly believing that I'm healed, why am I expecting pain? I got to change my expectancy. And so I said, tomorrow morning, I'm going to expect no pain at all. And after 3 months, the next morning, oh my gosh, no problems at all. Stand with expectancy. And then here's the third thing. Listen. Because the Holy Spirit will tell you something specific to you that you need to know so that you can stand. In the same way that, remember when Jesus healed the blind man? You know, he healed people differently all the time, but you know, one blind puts mud on his eyes and sends him off to the pool. Why did Jesus do that? He was putting him in a position. He knew that man's heart. He knew what it would take for that man to operate in faith. He had to operate in faith. Well, Jesus knows you. Let him speak to you. I told you guys that I had asthma my whole life. From the time I was born, I was in the hospital many times. By the time I was in high school, I was still in the hospital, and they said I'd never get healed. I got saved when I was 21 years old. I went down to how many healing lines, standing for prayer, never saw any difference. I just kind of accepted it that this is something that I kept wanting to believe, but I just saw, like 10 years ago, this was until 10 years ago. And 10 years ago, I'm not going to tell you all of that, but I finally got my healing, my total deliverance. But you know what happens in those 10 years? I used to take medication all the time. I would have an emergency inhaler. I would use that 3 times a day on average my entire life. I didn't have any of those anymore. But you know what happens? Once in a while, the enemy will still, all of a sudden. And it even happened like a week and a half ago. We came back from vacation, and Donna's sitting next to me. She said, it sounds like you're having trouble breathing. Yeah, I am. But you know what? I just know that's just the enemy trying to get me to take back symptoms that I'm already delivered from. I'm going to stay on my ground. I will not be pushed back. I'm not going to go back to asthma. I will not. But here's why it's important to listen. I'm not saying this is true for you. This is what the Holy Spirit told me. And this makes no sense medically. But like 4 years ago, the Holy Spirit told me, because I have no, but I once in a while, I get that. Anytime that I start to feel that tightness, this is what the Holy Spirit said. Get all the bad air out. Now let me tell you, there is absolutely no medical reason for that. That makes no sense medically at all. But this is what I would do. When that happens, I go somewhere so Donna doesn't have to watch me, and I will just exhale. I'll push all the air out until I start to get almost lightheaded. And then I suck back in, and it's gone. And I have no problems whatsoever. Now, I can't tell you. The Holy Spirit knows me, and He knows why I'd respond in faith to that. But there's no medical reason for that. That's not even logical. There's no bad air that's in there. Asthma is not bad air. It's that the bronchi and the lungs are constrict. It has nothing to do with bad air. But it's what the Holy Spirit told me to do. And any time, and it's rare, but any time that it comes back, I know. I'm just going to stand on. So listen to the Holy Spirit. These are the things. This is how we train ourselves to stand. This is how we train ourselves to stand and to fight in the spiritual realm. Speak the Word of God. Stand with a sense of expectancy and listen to what the Holy Spirit tells you to do. Listen, would you say? Oh, it was an affirmation. Okay, good. Satan's just a bully. That's all he is. He's just a big bully. And we've all had experience with bullies, both as children and as adults. We have experience with bullies. What do? They try to get their way through intimidation. That's all they're doing. In the natural world, we have physical bullies, and we have emotional bullies. Satan is both of those, but he's also a spiritual bully. How do you stop a bully? Punch him in the face, yeah. I was going to say stand, but that's better. Yeah, you stand up to a bully. That's what you do, punch him in the face. You stand up to a bully. So when the enemy starts his attack against you, whatever that attack is, don't throw down your weapon and run. No, you wield the sword of the Word of God that you have, because you know, and you know Satan knows, he has no armor against it, because Jesus has stripped him of his power, of his authority, and of his armor. You stand up to the bully. Stand, and he will flee. Whatever you face in your life today, whatever that attack is, hold your ground. Stand. Do not be pushed back. Hold your ground. And you leave. When you speak the word of God, you force the enemy's hands. When you speak the word of God, you force his hand. The other thing that comes from the definition that we saw for withstand, if you remember, it also said, establish your position publicly and conspicuously. Be bold. Speak the word of God publicly. Tell other people, I am standing against the enemy. And be conspicuous about it. We hesitate to do that because we think to ourselves, well, what if I say that and then it doesn't come to pass? I'm going to look foolish. People are going to think God's word doesn't work. That's not seeing yourself in the full armor of God. And that's not seeing your enemy defeated and on the run. When you speak the word of God publicly, you force the enemy's hand. It's like you're playing poker. All he can do is bluff. That's all he can do. You're calling his bluff. You speak the word of God publicly and you force his hand because he knows he's defeated and he knows he's got no armor against the word that you wield. So whatever it is that you face today, you stand on the word of God. You continue to stand on the word of God. You speak the word and you stand on the word. It forces the enemy. He will do one thing. He will do a 180-degree turn, and he will run from you. And that leaves you in possession of the battlefield. And it also leaves you possessing all of the spoils, everything that Jesus has won back for you. So I've been looking at verse 13 all morning long. Let me conclude with this. I'm going to look at that same verse, but I want you to see verse 13 through a different version. This is in the complete Jewish Bible. It says, so take up every piece of war equipment God provides, and we'll look at those next week, so that when the evil day comes, you'll be able to resist. And when the battle is won, you will still be standing. The work is done. The battle is won. All that remains is for us to stand. And if you will be resolved, if you will be resolute, and you will stand, and you will stand in the battle, when the dust of your battle settles, and it will, I don't care what the battle is, when the dust settles, you will be the one that's still standing. There'll be no sight of the enemy because he will have fled, but you will have all of the spoils. You will have everything that Jesus has won for you. This is how you possess it. This is how you stand. Train yourself. Learn a lesson from the early American Continental Army. Never throw down our weapons. No, train yourself. Look for those options and opportunities today. Look for those small things that you can stand on and speak the word of God. Stand in expectancy and see it come to pass so you can possess it in your life. When you see that, you can stand for the next thing and you can stand for the bigger things and you can receive. Amen? Amen. Let's stand up and praise him this morning because he is worthy of praise. Amen.